meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. TGIIF. I have to say TGIIF. You know what that means?
It is.
Thank God. It is Friday. This has been an unbelievable week.
Yes, it
unbelievable
has.
Week. Beautiful, but unbelievable.
Intense.
Unbelievably intense. Don't we say that every time we come on this show? It seems like it's just the mantra, our mantra, every day.
That's life.
It's life. That's exactly right. Now, I more and more understand what they mean when they say, you know, may he rest in peace, or may she rest in peace. You know, eternal rest and grant unto him, O Lord. Sometimes it really looks quite appealing. You know?
Very appealing.
I
to
can't
me.
Wait.
Well, I can wait, but I'm not ready, quite ready. So, anyway, it's beautiful outside, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Probably not for Tony, but certainly for us, it's beautiful.
Well, you know what they say after the storms. We had some intense storms yesterday.
The
those
sun
tornadoes.
Will come out tomorrow.
Yes.
They should make a song like that. It says the sun will come out tomorrow.
And have a dog sing along with it. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, it would be nice. I'm surprised nobody ever thought of that.
I don't know.
Oh, you would make a lot of money from that, Father.
Could.
Yeah.
Could. Anyway, no, it is so beautiful. And I, you know, because it has been stressful. I guess life is just, that's just the way life
is. That's what life is.
It is. And you try to be graceful through it all, and sometimes you
not that
not
graceful.
So graceful.
I don't have the knack for that, Father.
No, well, we know
you know
don't.
That.
We all know that. But I stoop to your level, Jerry. You know, sometimes I stoop to your level. No, just joking.
No, you're not.
You're right. I'm not. Your
I know it? You're not.
You're right that I'm not. But no, today I was just. Poor Jerry.
Oh, Father.
I'm surprised you're here today, Jerry.
Why not?
Oh, because you're tough skin. You got tough skin.
No, Jerry's tough.
Jerry's strong. She's a strong woman.
She saw another side of me that she's never seen before, probably. I'm getting just like you.
The one that I've seen a long time ago.
Well, don't get me started on you, Christina. So.
Yeah, with the attitude, right?
That attitude. Get the chip off your shoulder. Because it's so beautiful, it really is nice.
It is.
So I happened to walk by, because yesterday I wasn't out, it was blah, rainy, and I feel bad for the kids and our teachers and the student, you know, everybody was out this week, and it was such an awful week, you know, by way of weather-wise.
Mm-hmm. All the rainy, it was
cold, been dark and rainy all week.
Mm-hmm.
Not rainy all week, but it's been dark all
dark,
week.
Dark, yes.
And then right, Nick, you know?
Yeah, with me driving around yesterday, I was muttering to myself, things look bad enough without having to get closer at them.
Yeah, exactly right. But then thank God for today, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Certainly. But as I was telling Jerry, I'm still dealing with the stress of too much to do, little time to do it in.
What's our problem over here? I'm surprised people keep tuning in. I wonder if we have anybody listening to us.
No, you know what? They're all in the same boat. They can relate, Father.
They can relate.
People can relate to it. I agree with that.
No, it's so true. Life shouldn't be.
But we hang in there and do the best we can.
That's right. Sometimes we don't do the best we can, but that's another story, right?
Only God is perfect.
Only God is perfect. We're being perfected. Hopefully we're being disposed for that perfection.
It's a long journey.
Well, you better believe it. It's been a long journey for you, hasn't it?
We're in the fire right now.
But I happened to, I didn't get out at all. At all. And then this morning I've got a lot to do as always, but I happened to pass by the window and looked outside, and I saw that the leaves had
the budding.
The trees had starting. Leaves.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I'm not going to stick around here. I'm getting out.
Good plan.
Going for a an Easter ride, you know, finally after what, we're in the seventh or sixth day of Easter.
Yes. So spring has sprung.
It's that sun makes a big difference. And I feel bad for Tony because I know this is not his cup of tea. You know, he likes the dark and
he likes the gloom and doom.
Gloom and doom. But I did our principal, I had to make contact with her during the week, just by way of the email, because they're out this week. And she just said, it's just been this dark week, but at least today everybody can enjoy. It's a little chilly, but it's okay. It's fine.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. As long as the sun is shining and there's leaves on the trees. And speaking of gloom and doom and darkness,
that's nice.
Who steps into the studio, you know? I'm sorry that this isn't, you're having a bad, you must be having a bad day.
Nice, Nick.
That was good, Nick, by the way. Thanks. We're going to be pretty professional over here. But I know this has got to be a bad day for you because the sun is shining.
Yeah, it was. In contrast to yesterday, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Anyway, all right. The clouds are coming, you know.
Well, you know, like Sister Anne used to say, watch this, let me tell Rose, oh, it's such a beautiful day. And Rose's like, yeah, but it's going to rain.
It's going to rain. It's going to change. Okay.
I like this.
All right.
They're laughing with us.
Yeah. Who are they?
I don't know. It's those people.
The canned people from television.
Nostra voces. Those are the voices. Exactly. The voices. So we're going to remind everybody that we have the concert tomorrow, certainly.
7:30.
I'll tell you, something beautiful. Because yesterday was of course, it was a special day because it was a great day.
It was a great day. It was almost Friday.
It was almost Friday.
And it was somebody's birthday.
And it was, I turned 60 yesterday, but I wanted to keep it kind of low key and all that. And because I'm just not into celebration, I don't like to be the center of attention. I don't like all the attention, you know. So
that everybody knows, Father warned me like 2 weeks ago not to say anything on the radio.
That's so right.
What does he do yesterday? Uh-huh.
Starts the program.
Because I was so stressed. I had to say something. I had to say something to lighten things up.
Yeah. So if Oscar and Armin are listening, that they were planning on...
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me. This was 2 weeks ago he warned me. And he kept on repeating, I do not want anything mentioned. You did.
Exactly. I'm surprised my cousin didn't even call me, you know, or didn't even send him a message or anything.
They did.
Because you basically told
they
everyone.
They did.
It was just crazy.
Yeah, anyway.
But they did send a text.
And I said I didn't want a party, but I knew it. I'm turning 60, so I figured there's going to be a surprise party. There's got to be a surprise party.
Surprise, there was no party.
No, that's why I'm happy today, because there was. Somebody said, you know, well, you got to humble your. It's not about humility. It's just everybody is different. Right. And when I had my 25th, my 25th wedding anniversary. Wedded to the church. But I had my 25th priesthood, it was just exactly how I wanted it. I had a private mass at St. Peter's in Rome, at the Vatican, just me and the Lord and the whole world. Because, you know, I brought the whole world into the celebration of the mass. Yeah. And it was just beautiful. And that's why I like it. Mm-hmm. That's why I like it. When I die, I don't want a funeral.
You're going to have a funeral, yeah. Father.
Yes.
But I don't want people there, you know.
It's no people. Have a funeral.
I want my coffin. I want light to emanate from the coffin, you know.
It will, Father.
Right.
With the candles and huge image.
And the angels singing, you know.
In a halo.
In a halo.
And what singing do we have to reward?
We won't need a halo because the light will be, be fully.
So intense, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and people will know. They will know.
Yeah, and then years later, they're going to take your body out and you'll be incorruptible.
Exactly. That's right, yeah. You got it. So, you know, you can read my mind. So, anyway, no, I'm just joking. You know, tongue in cheek, I hope you understand I'm joking there. So, but anyway, I tell you what was beautiful, and this is, I'm not being funny or trying to joke around now, but... because it was a stressful day. It was a very dark day because it was just so much going on. I mean, aside from the storms, there were so much other things.
A lot of storms going on.
A lot of storms.
Many storms going on.
So you don't know what comes through the doors
of
the parish.
Tornadoes are everywhere.
But I got to the time for confessions, and Lorenzo said, you know, there's no confessions. There's nobody here. So I thought, he says, you know, I'll call if anybody comes, but, you know, just, you know, take because it's been a very hectic day. Just
take just, a little
it's
break.
It's your birthday, there. Relax, you know, and all mm-hmm. that. So I thought that was very nice and kind of Lorenzo. I thought, I'm just going to take advantage of that. And mm-hmm. then I was in my office, but it had been so stressed. I said, you know what? No, I need to get, maybe it's good that there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. I can hide into the, I can go in the confessional mm-hmm. and I can pray and just have that quiet. Nobody know, you know, unless somebody comes for confession. So I did that. I went to the confessional, took my rosary, and I was in the confessional. And all of a sudden, there were this, talk about a chorus, there were monks had come into the church.
Oh.
About 8 monks,
wow.
And they prayed, they chanted the evening prayer.
Beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
See, that was your birthday gift.
It was.
Yes.
I said, you know, thank you, God. So thank you, Jesus, so much. Because it really was. It was just like a gift from heaven.
Yes.
I mean, who would have ever thought?
No. Yeah.
And they were.
Oh, beautiful.
I peeked out because I had to see this. So I peeked it through the curtain. And,
oh, wow.
And I said, this is these monks. I don't know where they were from, but they were fully dressed as monks.
Wow. Yes.
And they chanted the whole evening prayer.
Beautiful.
It was so beautiful. It was so nice. So, and then after the Mass, and they didn't stay for the Mass. It was just, mm-hmm. I think God sent them just for that purpose, you know, that to serenade.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. To console.
Yes.
You know, consolation.
Yes.
Like a lullaby. Because
mm-hmm.
It was so peaceful, so beautiful. And they just sang it. So there's just nothing
that was
so beautiful.
Wasn't
yeah. I was hoping people would walk in, and people did, I'm sure, and they, mm-hmm. they must have been really, it would be nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
A group of monks or sisters or something here in the parish. Maybe someday there will be who can add to the
years
the
ago
sacred.
There was a group of monks that stayed over and they did the
they
same
transformed
thing
they transformed the that was the brothers
Saint
of Saint John in Peoria
yes
but they're from France
mm-hmm.
And they came France or Switzerland but they came and they moved they basically
oh,
moved into the rectory for.
Oh.
A couple of days, wasn't it? Or maybe it was a full day or a night or something.
Something
they spent the night here, and it transformed the whole place into a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. So beautiful. I had to be very, very quiet, you know? But it was nice. It was very, very nice. So that was that. And then after the Mass in the evening, of course, I didn't make any mention, but somehow the word gets out, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Father's turned 60. You can just look at him and you can see, you know.
You can see it.
Yeah, well, somebody in the back was telling them it's 60.
Yeah, so I tried to get out of the sacristy, out of the sanctuary, through the sacristy, into my office. I had somebody, by the way, Justin, who was a reader yesterday, did a beautiful job. It was his first time he read. Very, very, very nice mm-hmm. job. And so he... so I wanted to speak with him briefly, and so I took him to the office, and Lupe came with roses, yellow roses, and she said, you know, people are waiting to see you in the sacristy,
oh.
And I says, I'll be there. So so there was a nice group of people there, and tried to tell him that I was purposely trying to... By the way, Stephen and his mother were there.
Scubs.
Very nice,
right.
yeah. And they
nice.
Had...
Good people.
Very nice
yes.
people. Anyway, so that was that, and then here it is Friday. I say TGIIF, thank God it is Friday because it has been a week, and we've got a big weekend coming up.
Yes.
We've got a funeral tomorrow. We've got the confirmation mass preparation, the retreat day in preparation for their confirmation. We've got the concert tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to that. I've got some of the script here, and I want to share that with you. And then we've got, Divine Mercy Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to talk about that.
Yes.
That's coming up on the Sunday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got confirmation next week, so it's...
It's
Easter until mid June.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very busy time. So not here, not just here, but everywhere.
Everywhere. Yes.
So anyway, we're about a quarter of the way into the show. So I think this would be a good time to take the first break, and then we can come back and we'll continue talking about my birthday and, and,
yes.
and about
the birthday
me.
Bash you had yesterday.
I'm just kidding. Just joking. We'll talk about something other than. My birthday. So, all right, everybody, don't go. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Lissa Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish.
and English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Our music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. So we've got the concert coming up tomorrow. That's before we talk about Divine Mercy Sunday. I want to share, because the script is interesting. It's not nostra voces, no? Our voices, light out of the dark, right? Mm-hmm. And I just got the script, actually after the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is, mm-hmm. When I say the script, I mean there's how they're going to bring this into the music, mm-hmm. You know, the composition.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting. I thought, you know, I just wanted to share this with you because, so these will be the voices from the past, right? These are the voices of the saints, and he's got the, like, for instance, only the person who renounced, this is from the words of the saints, only the person who renounces self-importance, who no longer struggles to defend or assert himself, can be large enough for God's boundless action. It's beautiful.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
And I don't know who said that. He's got names for all these, but then Edith Stein said that suffering is the greatest treasure on earth. It purifies the soul. In suffering, we learn who our true friend is.
Wow.
Sister Faustina Kowalska, if only I knew how to love, to burn and consume oneself in love.
Mm.
Ursula Lidohovska, and I'm not saying Ursula, but I'm not, I just looked at this morning, so I haven't had a chance to identify all these. Edith Stein, certainly I know, Sister Faustina Kowalska. And only this first one, the first one might have been Edith Stein as well. Only the person who renounces self-importance, just think about that. Only the person who renounces self-importance, who no longer struggles to defend or assert himself or herself, can be large enough for God's boundless action.
Wow.
It's really something to think
about.
That's
very deep.
And Ursula, did I say Ursula Lidohovska? He should first show them in deeds rather than words all that is good and holy.
Mm-hmm.
Have no fear of moving into the unknown. Simply step out fearlessly, knowing that I am with you. Therefore, no harm can befall you. All is very, very well. Do this in complete faith and confidence. It's very beautiful.
Yes.
This absolutely. Is as God is revealing to Ursula Ledochowska, Saint Ursula, Saint Pope John Paul II, our earthly ideals are fading away. I see the ideal of life in sacrifice and the ideal of sacrifice in priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because before I read this, I was in the chapel this morning. I was reading this other, we might get to it. It's called The Tragic Case of Christ, The Anatomy of Tragedy. And it speaks about how man knows two things, how things are and how they should be. In other words, the world, how they are, and how they should be, the ideal. And then he developed this. And we might get into that because it kind of related to this. But I was reading that, and then I happened to pick up the script for this, part of this script for the concert, part of this composition, the voices that will be heard, recorded in the midst of this this composition. And I thought, well, just... absolutely ties right in. The ideal. I see the ideal life in sacrifice and the ideal of sacrifice in priesthood. Oh, the most deadly poison of our time is... Okay, let me back up a little bit. We'll come back to that. Yuzef Pelchar. Do you know who that is? Yuzef Pelchar?
No.
I didn't get a chance to... Anyway... He said that a single act of love makes the soul return to life. Is it beautiful?
Yes. Mm.
So simple, so true. Maximilian Kolbe, the saint who died in the concentration camp during the Second World War, said that no one in the world can change truth. But how we're trying to change it today, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He says no one in the, but now listen, this was written, he spoke these words in the 1940s, 1930s or 1940s. He died in the 1940s. But he said no one in the world can change truth. What we can do and should do is to seek truth and to serve it when we have found it. Earthly ideals are fading away. I see the ideal life in sacrifice. And the sacrifice in priesthood. And I just read that that was under Pope John Paul II.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'm confused. I'm just reading right from the thing. But the most deadly poison of our time is indifference.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is going back to the... to the ninth. If it's Maximilian Kolbe, it's either Maximilian Kolbe or it's John Paul II. It looks like it's Maximilian Kolbe from here. The most deadly poison of our time is indifference. And this... And this happens, although the praise of God should know no limits. Let us strive, therefore, to praise Him to the greatest extent of our powers. I am convinced that by keeping my heart uncontaminated, living in faith and in fraternal love towards my neighbor, I will not go off the path. These are my only treasures, and they are priceless. So those are the voices, some of the voices that will be... in this composition, spoken voices. Zygmunt Szczesny Feliński. Got to find out who these people are. I'm assuming these are saints. Many of these are, I'm assuming, because I was told these were the saints. And of course, these we've spoken about here are from Poland. And this is to honor the foundation. The parish was founded by Polish immigrants. But the perfection of life consists in drawing close to God. Heaven is the possession of God, and heaven God is contemplated, adored, and loved. But to attain heaven, it's necessary to detach from what is earthly.
Yeah.
Earthly. So we're of the world, we're in the world, but not of the world. And when Jesus speaks of the world, first of all, he says, God so loved the world, this is God's creation. But when he speaks of the world in the negative, he's speaking about the world under the dominion of Satan, the father of lies, the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, the deceiver, the accuser. He creates confusion. He seeks to divide and destroy. So that would be, and if we give free rein to the flesh, that means the world. then the flesh of its very nature will lust against the Spirit. We're called, as children of God, created by God, to live under the dominion of God, under the dominion of God's Spirit, under the dominion of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, imbued with the Spirit of God. So this detachment from what is earthly, that which is passing away, right?
Mm-hmm.
That which is passing away, but to cleave to Christ, who is eternal,
mm-hmm.
who has conquered sin and death, as we're celebrating in this Easter season. Saint Teresa, Teresa of the Andes, we need sacrifice, renouncement of our own will to reach complete union with our Lord. The presence of God is so intimate to me, that it seems impossible for me to lose it. And such presence gives my soul a joy which I cannot describe. Saint Paulina, apart from the cross, there is no other ladder by which we may get to heaven. Without the burden of afflictions, it is impossible to reach the height of grace. The gift of grace increases as the struggle increases. I am content, O Lord, I am content. Why is that? Because in suffering, we lose control. There's certain mm-hmm. things we can't control. There's a point where we have to kind of, you got to let go. I was telling somebody that a couple of weeks ago, got a little bit, not angry, but there was a kind of a righteous anger, not a self-righteous, but a kind of a righteous anger. But somebody who's been suffering with I call it an interior demon in the sense, you know,
mm-hmm.
woe is me, oh, woe is me, and, you know, this and that. And I says, you got to stop it already. For years, I said, been listening to this, you got to stop it. You know, you're hurting yourself. You're punishing yourself. So you got to let it go. You got to let it go. You know, it's, life isn't easy, and people aren't always going to like us, and people aren't always going to, you know, pat us on the back or support us or anything. And,
mm-hmm.
and you got to let it go. And why do you punish yourself, you know? And this should be the wisdom that comes with the years, isn't it? Don't you think that there's a point? I remember a bishop. It's funny how we always talk about death on the show, but because this is reality, right?
Right.
But this bishop who was diagnosed with a terminal disease, and they gave him only, I think it was like maybe 8 months or a year to live or something. I don't remember. I was a seminarian. He was the bishop in St. Louis. He wasn't the archbishop, but he was one of the. Or was he the archbishop? I don't remember, but anyway, he's one of the bishops because it's an archdiocese. And I remember he met with the seminarians, and he says, you know, this is during the time of his, this time where he was suffering this affliction to his body, this terminal disease. And he says, you know, what bothers me is it took me this long to learn how to live. He said that.
Yes.
He said, I wake up in the morning and I thank God for the gift of a new day, and I, whether it's raining, whether it's sunshine, whatever. And it's not that, you know, he was anticipating the best is yet to come, as we say, you know, the best is yet to come. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, nor so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. But it said it's taken him all this time. It's only when he had a death sentence that he learned to live, learned to appreciate and savor the beauty of life. So, something to be said, huh? Let's see. Saint Alberto Hurtado. Do you know his story, Christina? I don't remember. He's one of the, he's from one of the Mexican saints, but he says, I am innocent and I die innocent. I forgive with all my heart those respond. Oh, this is as he's being martyred.
Mm. As I was going to say,
I am innocent.
Like
Cristero. I am innocent and I die innocent. Mm. I forgive with all my heart those responsible for my death, and I ask God that the shedding of my blood serves toward the peace of our divided Mexico.
Mm.
Quite powerful, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Saint Cristobal.
Uh-huh.
Cristobal. Magallanes, Jara, says, Lord, I want to be a martyr, though I am your unworthy minister. I want to shed my blood drop by drop for your name. It's a noble thing, a heroic thing. Could I say that? It's a question, you know, I'd asked the other a couple of weeks ago at the Mass, if somebody were coming, when you think of all those who are, the Pope has been speaking about this as well, the Christians. Mm. You know what's interesting? Let me just say this. The other day, now there were, the atrocities going on in the Middle East are just that, they're atrocities. And it's not only Christians, but also the Yazidis and the other groups, and certainly other Muslims. Muslims are killing Muslims. But for some reason, for some odd, strange reason, the president and the administration, and criticize me for saying this, but I mean, this is a fact. For the most part, they don't want to recognize or state the extent to which Christians are being put to death. Mm-hmm. And they won't mention. I was thinking of the 21 Christians who were beheaded, and there was no mention of the fact that they were Christians, but that they were Egyptians, but they were put to death precisely because they were Christians. And not much was even said about the Christians who were put to death in Kenya. Mm-hmm. They were put to death, what, nearly 200?
Yes.
Put to death, slaughtered, just slaughtered. Holy Week. It was during Holy Week.
Yes.
Or the week before. And the mention that they were Kenyans, but no mention of the fact that they were Christians. And yet, the president made it a point to acknowledge the Yazidis and another group who had been killed this past week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It just makes you ask yourself why, mm-hmm. you know? And at the same time, you can't say of these terrorists that they are, this is the Islamic State. These are people who are practicing a form of Islam that is, well, whatever. But I find it interesting. But the Pope has been speaking about that, you know, that when is the world going to wake up to, and by the way, there was a study, and I forgot which group, a couple of groups have done a study that the Christians are right now the most persecuted religion in the world. It's not just confined to the Middle East and Africa, but it's all over. So, whatever. I was reading a commentary the other day, and somebody said, you know, I'm not going to feel sorry for the Christians because, well, they, you know, anyway, it's whatever.
Ignorance.
I know I'm bringing this up, but just find it odd. St. Louis Baptiste Saints, God knows I am here. This is his will for me. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God knows I am here. This is his will for me. You know, some of the saints have said, you know, somebody said, well, if you knew that you were going to, this was your last, you only had an hour to live, what would you do? I forgot what saint was asked that. And he said, I'd do what I'm doing. I would just be doing what I'm doing, you know? Because I was asking the question, if somebody were to come into the church and say, okay, as is happening, as has happened in other parts of the world, especially in the Middle East and in Africa, and say, either you renounce Christ or, you know, off with your head, what would you do? What would you do? Now, one gentleman, in response to my asking the question, said he would consider the person asking the question a psychopathic, sociopathic kind of a person, and he would, for love of his family, he would probably, he didn't say renounce Christ, but he would probably give in for the sake of his family, thinking that he's dealing with a sick person.
Doesn't matter.
And in order to protect
and those safe. People are not sick? The ones that are killing? They're sick people.
Well, no, that's the point he's making. The point he's making is that considering that this person who's asking me the question is a sick person, that I would play into his sickness.
Mm-mm. And he'd kill him anyway.
He'd kill him. He'd kill
probably,
him.
Well, yeah. Who knows?
I would
anyway.
Still say,
but a very,
yes, I would.
But it was very interesting.
My head.
But again, he for love of his family, for his wife and children. I've got a wife and children to tend to and to care.
You know what? I, for love of Christ, I wouldn't denounce him.
No.
No.
Well, the church is built on the blood of the martyrs, that's for sure. So, St. Jose Isabel Flores Varela. I got to find out who these saints are. What greater glory is there than to die saving a soul? St. David Galvin Bermudez, I am here with my people, live or die. These are all people who are, this is must be during the revolution in Mexico. St. Justino Orona Madrigal, those of us who walk the road of sorrows with fidelity can leave for heaven with a feeling of security. It's a very beautiful thing.
Yes.
To me, here and here, let me wait and see what God has. Okay, what? St. Sabas Arre Salazar, I want to love you until martyrdom. St. Jose Maria Robles Hurtado, did we just have him? Oh, this is another one. All of this is God's will. The man who is made to kill me is not responsible. And these are all, these are saints that are speaking at the time of their martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and a little bit more here, and then we'll go into the talk about Divine Mercy Sunday, because that's coming up. We got that, we have that this Sunday. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday, and the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loyer of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we have the concert tomorrow night. That's a way of kind of moving into the Divine Mercy, the celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday, because we have the evening mass will be at 5 o'clock, and then the concert at 7:30. So out of the dark, light out of the dark, our voices. And just sharing with you some of the voices of the saints. Małgorzata Sawczuk, who is our artist in residence. Basically, she's done all the gold gilding and you know, you'll see when you come. Mm-hmm. People.
And her husband, Tomak.
She and her husband, Tomasz. I like the name Małgorzata, Tomasz. But anyway, Tomasz is her husband. But she wrote, there's images of Our Lady as well, the Blessed Virgin. It's going to be, again, part of the composition, so they'll be very visual as well. And in her words, it is a kind of a rough translation, I think, but Mother, can you hear me? The images of Our Lady are going to be revealed. These are her words. Mother, can you hear me when at lonely nights, in the loneliness of night, I touch an unending silence of emptiness? My thoughts, like rough waves, embrace you. Mother, can you see my suffering? Older than the first sin when my dreams darken over me. My thoughts, violent in their hunger, yet trembling in anticipation of your first look. Mother, do you cry over me? Protect me in my blackness of complete despair. My thoughts, like rough waves, embrace you. My thoughts are violent in their hunger. My thoughts, swollen with desire, when love surpasses dreams or suppresses. When love suppresses dreams and raffles blood. Every moment of silence is death to the one who loves. Mother, give me the quiet music of your love, a patient mouth, a childish astonishment at your being, or childlike. I fall asleep, I wake up, I pass the time, I pass the silence. Your light fills the space of a broken world. The world is filled with your light. Mother, open your eyes. I am alive. I feel your presence in the darkness. I hear your voice. Mm. There's a certain mysticism to that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's going to be put to music as well in the images of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, all right, so we've got, by the way, just this is something that was kind of, you want some good news, perhaps. There's been a 25% increase in ordinations to the priesthood this year. 25%.
That's good.
25%. In the United States.
In the States?
Yeah. This year. So 595 men are expected to be ordained to the priesthood this year. That's an increase of 24.7% compared with last year's figure, which is 477.
Wow.
It's a significant. So there's over 100 more men being ordained this year. And it's interesting. It fell, the number of men ordained to the priesthood in the United States fell steadily from 994 in 1965 to 771 in 1975 to 533 in 1985. I was ordained in 1984. 511 in 1995, and 454 in 2005. So from 2005, in 10 years, from 454, let's see, did I get something wrong here? 454, and then last year it was 477. But anyway, and the average age of those graduating in 2015, this year, is 34, so their average age is 34. I was 29 when I was ordained. A quarter of them were born outside the United States. The greatest numbers coming from Nigeria, Poland, Vietnam, Colombia, Mexico, and the Philippines. Mm. A quarter of those being ordained are foreigners who have come from other countries. Most of those being ordained are cradle Catholics. That means they've been Catholics all their lives. Only 7% become Catholic later in life. 84% said that both of their parents were Catholic. 37% were related to someone who was a priest or religious. That's interesting, 37%. And about 70% said they prayed the rosary and participated in Eucharistic adoration before entering the seminary. So don't be discouraged, you know. Discouraged. In fact, that's speaking of discouraged, about almost half of them were discouraged at some point from joining the priesthood. They were being discouraged not to.
Yeah.
The power of the call. You know? So that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I always think what Cardinal George said. He says, as far as a priesthood, he says, God will provide priests as the need is there. If the need's not there, God won't provide the priests. Yeah. So, you know, if you've got, let's say, in its day here at St. Stanza, or maybe, what did Sister say in the 19th century going into the 20th century, how many priests? About 20, didn't she?
I think so.
Just in this parish. This was one of the largest parishes in the world. But
I can't imagine that many priests.
Well, when you think of how many people, you know, because they had just in a year's time, in 1 year's time, I'm thinking 1892, right here in this parish, there were, I think, 1,050 funerals in 1 year.
Wow.
In 1 year. That's in 1 year. There were 390-some weddings just that one year.
Wow.
So how many days in a year?
365.
395 weddings in that one year.
Oh, boy.
So they had to have multiple weddings ahead of them.
And then if you think of baptisms.
Baptisms they had, well, let's see, I don't remember that one year. I don't have this, but these are numbers that I remember. But I know that from 1890 to 1915, there were over 50,000 baptisms in this one parish. So figure that out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There were 4,000 students in the school, 70 sisters taught in the school, school sisters of Notre Dame, 500-member choir, or 300. I think it was a 300-member choir. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Yes.
And I forget how many different societies. And
then the altar boys.
Altar, yeah. So it was, but that was a different time, you know.
Yes, it was.
But God will provide as the need is there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, Nick, we're going to take a break, then we'll come back, and we can talk. We'll wrap up walking talking. Do we have a walkie-talkie?
Walkie-talkie.
Whatever. We will wrap up with the Divine Mercy Sunday that's coming up this week. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Port of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project 4th Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notres Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the Church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up TGIIF. Thank God it is Friday. And by the way, tomorrow, speaking of Divine Mercy, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, Papa Francesco, is going to officially convoke the Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy. It's really quite exciting. It's very good for us, I think, you know. We got to start thinking about how we're going to bring attention to our sacred space, because this is a sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. But he's going to tomorrow officially convoke the Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy with the publication of the Bull of Indiction. And this is a papal... How would you define that, Geraldine?
I don't know, Father.
It's an official statement
proclamation, whatever,
from the Pope. I guess that would be as yeah, let's just call it a proclamation, a statement of proclamation proclaiming that the church should begin to prepare for this. And by the way, he's going to do this, let's see, aside from indicating the duration, opening and closing dates, and the main ways in which the Holy Year will unfold, this constitutes, well, this the basic document, it's a document, will help us to understand the spirit in which it was convoked, why this is being convoked, this year of mercy. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that or reading about that. But they're going to do that. I don't know if you remember during the Holy Years, because those are special Jubilee years. This is going to begin with the, they're going to enter through the side of the holy doors. At the side of the holy door, the bull of indiction will be handed to the four cardinal archpriests of the papal basilicas of Rome. I'm not going to name them. They're, you know, but the, and the major basilicas are the St. Peter's, St. Paul outside the wall, St. John Lateran, and St. Mary Major. But it's, so this, it's the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy will be celebrated in Rome and throughout the world, beginning, I believe, in, doesn't give the date here, but I believe it's in December, this coming December, running from beginning in December 2015, running for a year to December of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be officially, the bull of indiction will be officially made or given tomorrow. So Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, and this is the octave. This is the octave. And again, this, if you just to refresh your memory, you know, St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, called the Apostle of the Divine Mercy. She was a third of 10 children from a very poor and a very pious family in Głogowiec, a village in Poland. Her name was Helena. She had 3 years of schooling. At the age of 14, she left home to work as a domestic. At the age of 7, she had a sense of vocation, but it was stifled because the family didn't want her to become a nun. And when she was a teenager, she was maybe in her late teens, she was at a dance, and at the dance she saw a vision of the suffering Christ, Jesus suffering. And he said to her, he says, "How long shall I put up with you? How long will you keep putting me off?" And she immediately, her sister was there, and she sat down, and she had this excruciating headache, and she immediately went to the Church of St. Stanislaus Kostka in, I think it was in Łódź, and there she prostrated herself, and Jesus said to her, "Go to Warsaw, and there you will enter a convent." And so she did this, she did that, and she entered the Sisters of Mercy, Our Lady of the Mercy, Our Lady of Mercy. She was a cook, a gardener, a doorkeeper, a porter. Her life was kind of short-lived because she died at 33. She was rather sickly. She lived a very austere life, very simple. She was a mystic. And she died of tuberculosis on October 5th, 1938. And so she was 13 years in religious life. And but her mission has endured to this day because during that time she was in a convent. Jesus spoke to her. And from this we have her diary, the Divine Mercy. It's called Divine Mercy in My Soul. And in that time, the Lord asked her for some very specific things. You know, he said a couple of things. He said a lot of things, not a couple of things. He said many, many things. But it's interesting when you think about it. He says, "A spark will come out of Poland and prepare the world for my mercy." Now, this is in the 1930s. And, you know, Pope John Paul II in 1978 was raised to the chair of Peter, coming out of Poland, and was the, certainly his papacy was characterized by this pilgrimage throughout the entire world. I forget how many countries, but most all the countries he visited in his, what, was it 26 or 27 year papacy? I think it's the third longest papacy in the world, in the history of the popes. And what would most define his papacy was the message of divine mercy. In fact, when he was raised to the chair, Peter, he took her writings. They had been suppressed, and he brought them out, and he began to really to delve into those writings. In fact, his second, I think it was his second encyclical, was on God's mercy. And one of the things that Jesus asked St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, he gave her prayers that, you know, that should be prayed. But the message basically to go to the world is that no matter how steeped in sin, no matter how scarlet your soul may be, you know, I'm here waiting, you know, so don't be afraid to come close. And Jesus asked that on the octave of Easter, that the church throughout the world would celebrate the Sunday of the Divine Mercy. And this is very appropriate because that's the gospel where Thomas doubts the Lord, and the Lord says, you know, blessed are those who believe in those who have not seen but do believe. And Jesus confers upon the apostles in the world peace, and he says, go and forgive sins. Forgive sins. That's the commission to go and to forgive sins. And so when we talk about mercy, what we're talking about, just that, right? You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be slaves to our sins. He wants to lift from our soul the guilt. I mean, there's a healthy guilt, but if we're in a darkness, remember the devil's the accuser. And Jesus is saying, no, I come as a liberator. And no matter where you've been, no matter how steeped in sin, I want you to come to me. I want you to put my trust in me. And I want to set you free. I want to set you free. And it's that we do so in gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. So on this Sunday, his image is to be venerated. He left the image of himself at the bottom of the image. And this was the image as he appeared to her, and he wanted the image to be painted, you know, to be created and to be displayed in all the churches so that people could go in and at the base of the image, the words, Jesus, I trust in you. In the prayer, the chaplet, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. So trust and acknowledging, knowing the extent to which God loves us, that he laid down his life, that from the cross he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, so that nobody have fear. And so he says, I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, especially for poor sinners. That's what the Lord told St. Maria Faustina. And so I'm giving them the last hope of salvation, that is recourse to my mercy. And if they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for all eternity. It's basically refusing God's mercy. He doesn't want that we refuse his mercy. This is a free gift. This is the incomprehensible. God's most beautiful attribute is his mercy. This is what most defines the mission of the church. Certainly, we're out of time, but this is the Sunday of the Divine Mercy, and we're preparing for this year, this Jubilee year of God's mercy. So I have a lot to talk about that. So, all right, everybody, I'm running out of steam here as it is. Thank God the hour has come to an end. Thanks for being with us. Have a really wonderful weekend. I hope it stays nice for everybody. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.